So Kevin, hi. Good to see you, man.
Good
Finally.
morning, brother. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, good, good. Thanks. I follow you on LinkedIn. I'm really impressed with your posts, especially your posts on mindset and decision fatigue and routines. And I've come to realize that fitness is more of a mindset change, and it starts in the mind and then it moves on to the body. And yeah, so I do read a lot of your posts, and I wanted to get you on this small chat where we can discuss. So essentially, you are a fitness behavioral change coach who helps busy men in corporate lose 20 pounds. And I've seen the results on your page. It's definitely more than 20 pounds, and they put on a lot of, they become lean and they put on a lot of muscles. So without giving up the things that they love. Can you go more on this and describe what exactly is the journey that when these men they come to you, when you coach them, what's the journey that you take them through?
For sure. So obviously, everybody uses their LinkedIn profile as their highlight reel. So the gentleman that happened to be highlighted on my banner at the moment, those results clearly took far longer than just the 12 weeks. But what we do is, what I do in the behavior change program is we use those 12 weeks to create a stronger foundation, reset the beliefs that kind of led the individuals down the path of an unhealthy lifestyle in the first place, and build these routines that they can rely on for the long term. So restriction isn't the way to go. Extreme exercise isn't the way to go. Spending hours and hours and hours in the gym isn't the way to go. But finding how nutrition, hydration, rest and recovery, and just movement fit into a lifestyle that you look forward to, that's the fountain of youth. That's the goal to get everybody to. And it's very, very unique and different for each person. So there is no cookie cutter approach.
One of your posts speaks about the treadmill. Get off the treadmill, and I enjoyed that post. And you spoke about four steps of losing weight and metabolism. And can you just quickly run us through that?
For sure. So society leads us to believe that you can exercise your way to weight loss. And sure, exercise is a very important component, but I like to boil it down to the real foundation of the science of weight loss so that people have the tools to make decisions for themselves and they don't find themselves handcuffed to the treadmill trying to outrun a bad diet. So in that post, I illustrated that our body burns calories in four different ways. Your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, is just the amount of calories that your body requires on a daily basis to have organ function. And this number really relies on how large you are. And the only control we have of increasing basal metabolic rate is to add more muscle mass. So the cool thing is, by resistance training and adding muscle mass, it's almost like investing in an asset that pays you while you're not even working. So that's our biggest one. It's like 70% of the calories you burn in a day are just like behind the scenes happening without your effort. The next biggest stone that I encourage all my clients to really focus on is called NEAT, NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And that's what I'm doing right now, standing up at my stand-up desk, talking with my arms, shivering a little bit because the windows are open. These behaviors over the course of 16 hours in a day burn way more calories than you could hope to sustain in the gym. So I'm not saying that, if I went and did a triathlon right now, I'd probably burn more calories today doing that triathlon than just standing at my desk. However, if we look at over the course of a week, a month, a year on average, people burn triple with just non-exercise activity than they do with exercise. And that's really where the difference that I want to highlight is if you're a really busy executive and you think, I don't have time to take my wife out to dinner, I don't have time to play catch with my kids, how the hell am I going to have time to go to the gym and lose weight? You don't have to. You just got to get creative about moving your body. But anyway, BMR 70%, NEAT, NEAT, just movement throughout the day, 15%. And these are rough estimates and they vary person to person. Then 10% is coming from actually digesting food. It's called TEF, thermic effective feeding. So the only way to really change this is to create a higher ratio of protein. Our body burns like 30% hotter when we have to metabolize protein than it does fat and carbs. So more protein actually helps with that. And then the last thing is exercise. And out of all of our tools at our disposal, exercise is actually the weakest tool to burn calories. And I highlight that. Number one, it's great for business because people don't want to spend hours on the treadmill.
When you say exercise, do you mean cardio or do you mean exercise in general?
Exercise in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Exercise in general is not a strong tool to burn calories and lose weight. Now, behind the scenes, a lot is going on hormonally that exercise really contributes and helps out. But for face value, it's not doing a lot of calorie damage in the moment.
We are talking about losing weight, becoming leaner. But what about energy and having more energy to do things and adding more muscle mass? So with this, you have to exercise. You have to. So it's not only about losing weight. You have to put in the work at the gym with these machines or at home with these push-ups and pull-ups. So how do you reconcile both, where you need this energy? Like, as you grow older, you lose more muscles. And one of the three reasons for, as people get older, the reason they die is one by falling. By falling is one of the top three, which essentially is loss of muscle mass. So how do you reconcile, it's not only about losing weight, but what about more energy? Like, how do you get that into the framework?
I couldn't agree more. And that's such a valuable differentiation to highlight. I spent a decade as a personal trainer selling nothing but the fitness side of things. And I love it. It's the focal point of people's really healthy lifestyle. It's because of the gym. It's because of the workouts that people are willing to kind of manipulate their other, levers, as you will, for a healthy lifestyle. So really the distinction that I like to make is the mindset behind it.
Yeah.
What I find is if an individual is only working out as a means to weight loss, they're going to stop working out for one of two reasons. They're either going to abandon working out because they achieved their weight loss and now I don't need to do the workout anymore because I've gotten to my weight loss, and then they throw it in the garbage. Or they're going to stop working out because they're frustrated. I've been working out like crazy for a month and I'm not losing weight. Let me throw this out. So my approach to, I guess you could say, talking shit about exercise as it pertains to weight loss is more so to bring more respect to exercise. We should be respecting exercise for the fact that it increases muscle mass, increases bone density, quickens foot speed so that falling as you age doesn't occur.
Okay, so I get it. So, don't link exercise only to weight loss. Exercise is important, but it's much more than just weight loss.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Hormonal regulation, energy, fulfillment of life, changing of the physique, it's the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
But it's not the key to weight loss. And that's where I see people getting a really bad relationship with exercise and ending up hating it.
Yeah.
Because it's almost a punishment when exercise should be the key to a valuable life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, what kind of changes do you see? Like, one, the health impacts other areas of your life. Do you see this with your clients where, just when they get fit and they lose weight and they get fit and they look better and it impacts their maybe finances and it impacts their relationships? Do you see this with your clients?
For sure. I would say the two biggest areas, anxiety reduction.
Okay.
And relationship connection. So anxiety is basically this feeling of lack of control. And when you're working crazy hours, you feel out of control. You feel like I can't keep up with my work. I'm neglecting my family and my home life. And I look in the mirror and I feel like shit. And just this anxiety comes because in every facet of life, we just are missing this control. But when people start to realize I've cracked the code, I can simply and easily fit a lifestyle that loses weight, that's one more thing I can control. Now I feel good, I have energy, and I actually start to execute better at work. That's another thing I can control. Then I come home and I'm just enthused, and it just has this carryover effect into my relationships, my, you know, leadership as a parent, my, you know, what I bring to the table to my spouse. So it's really this butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Starting with control of health. And I think it's the best way to start because it provides you confidence, energy, enthusiasm, and it just reduces anxiety because you feel like you're back in control. So
yeah,
I would say that those areas of improvement are the most meaningful outside of just the weight loss that my clients see.
Yeah, stress reduction, lower cortisol level, you know, higher testosterone level for men. So yeah, definitely impacts other areas of their life. And so we had this discussion earlier about caloric deficit and restriction. You said you're against the word restriction because it sounds obviously restrictive. So you're a proponent of caloric deficit. Could you make a case for caloric deficit? And I read your post where you said that everything related, like when you eat less of anything, that's better for you because less calories, even intermittent fasting or fasting in general, it should be more about deficit than restriction. So can you make a case for what you believe in?
For sure. So if you consider like the term fad diets,
okay,
right? You got keto, Atkins, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, intermittent fast, all these names.
Yeah.
I love these diets because they have a sense of belonging. They have these like little box you can fit in, and it's like I have clarity. But all of these fad diets, all of these diet categories, they fit under one umbrella. And that umbrella is a caloric deficit. The reason why these diets work is because my body requires X amount of calories to sustain the current weight I have, whatever that weight is. And as long as I have slightly less than maintenance, I will lose weight. And the way I kind of create that analogy is like your bank account.
Yeah.
If you spend more money than you have, you're going to go into debt. And yeah, that's kind of what we want to do with our weight. We want to spend more calories than we consume. And the best way to do that isn't by spending more calories. It's by just consuming a little bit less. So when I refer to a caloric deficit, there's 1,000 ways to make it happen. But as long as our net use and our net intake has a deficit, we will lose weight.
Yeah. I do believe that when you exercise or when you get your nutrition right, you get your calories down. But I'm from the school of thought where it's more about the hormonal response to food, and insulin being the fat storing hormone, and the quality of your pancreas and the insulin secretion has more to do with how fat is stored within the body than to do with only with the deficit part. So as an example, someone without a metabolic disorder would have like 80 milligram per deciliter sugar on their bloodstream. And if they drink an orange juice, like a sweet orange juice, within maybe 20 minutes, it'll go back to 80 milligram per deciliter because their pancreas have not been affected. And the insulin sensitivity is high or normal. But for someone who has metabolic disorder, has insulin resistance, their pancreas have been affected over a period of 15 years it takes. And obviously they will not get back to the 80 milligram per deciliter immediately. They will stay there to 160. I'm talking about blood sugar now. The blood sugar will be 160, 180. It'll stay for an hour or plus. And that's essentially type 2 diabetes. And so I'm more from the response to food. But again, there is it's a double-edged sword. People get into, just like caloric counting, there's a many people have this glycemic chart and they get into the glycemic counting. So for me, it's what has worked is more of the restriction, which is obviously not the best term, but time restricted feeding and intermittent fasting. Again, there's a slight difference. Time restricted feeding, you can eat what you want to in terms of the macros, but within that frame, that time frame. Again, intermittent fasting, again, it includes time restricted feeding, but also keto and high fat and low or no carb. So that has worked for me, and I've been more of a proponent of the hormonal response to food. But but it's interesting to know your perspective on this. And I've been reading more and more because whenever there's been someone who's been aggressively defending CECO, calories in, calories out, they didn't give an evidence-based answer. So I think for the first time, you came with an answer, with a reply where, you know, it's more of a moderate view where you say that, okay, you have to exercise, you have to eat right, and then you count your calories, which I found very different. Yeah.
So down to my core,
yeah,
I'm on the same team as you are, because the more time you can spend in a fasted state,
yeah,
the stronger your mitochondria are going to become at, you know, helping with your metabolic process, and the stronger your metabolism becomes.
Yeah.
However, my approach and my discussion around the calorie deficit is more so to meet the market where they're at, to give a clear understanding to it. So I personally, in my own life and in a lot of my clients' life, I'm a tremendous proponent of intermittent fasting, because I think it's really convenient for an executive lifestyle, entrepreneurial lifestyle, business owner lifestyle. If you start to mess with your blood sugar levels early in the day, you're going to be tied to the kitchen. So if I have a meal, it's 10:42 my time right now. And if I have a meal by this point, especially if there's a carbohydrate in it, my blood sugar is going to spike.
Yeah.
My insulin's going to come out, and then my blood sugar is going to dip. And by noon, I'm not focused on my work anymore.
You feel hungry
again. So exactly. So there's a couple ways to look at it. One way is by regulating your hormones and being able to keep an even keel of blood sugar. I'm not on this roller coaster where I feel like I constantly need to refeed, which makes it easier to be in a caloric deficit. And that is like something you can really build a long-term lifestyle on. But I'm also a huge proponent of doing intermittent fasting and a low carb diet, just from the sake of disease prevention, allowing the gut to heal during the hours where you're not consuming food is tremendously powerful. But I use the caloric deficit to get my foot in the door, because as soon as we start talking about regulating hormones and fixing leaky gut syndrome and metabolic syndrome and this, I find that the average person who needs my help the most already tunes out because I sound too much like a doctor. So I must say, behind the scenes, everything that you're speaking of in hormonal regulation and trying to reduce processed carbohydrates to regulate blood sugar to make sure that we are as insulin sensitive as possible, I think that's the key to long-term success. But I find that leading with that point of conversation is almost a little bit too elevated, that it alienates the people who need to hear it the most, because I find it's not a knowledge issue. Everybody can access the knowledge that you and I have through Google. It's a behavioral issue.
Oh, yes.
People are so far off of understanding what is really going on that I try to meet them with what they're ready to hear. And just like any behavior change, it's like, all right, little tiny baby steps. And if behind the scenes, we start to regulate their hormones without them even knowing it, win-win for everybody.
You get a lot of these internal scripts, these narratives that they've had since they were growing up, but I always believed that this was good for me. How come you say it's not good for me? I always believe, you know, why do you say this? you get a lot of, people saying that.
For sure. And yeah, that's a big reason why, in order to work with me, there has to be a 12-week commitment, because it takes a long time to break free of this old narrative.
Okay.
I have clients who are under the belief that by adding more vegetables, all their problems will be solved. Mm. And I try to explain to them, it's not the lack of vegetables that is stealing your health. It is the surplus of processed carbohydrates, sugars, vegetable oils, fried foods. It's this surplus that if you just add vegetables on top of that,
it won't
it's not helping anything.
Yeah.
But on day one, when I tell somebody, hey, you know, it's awesome that you added broccoli today, but that's not fixing the problem. It takes a while to break out of that belief system. It takes a while to break out of the belief system that you got to go and run 5 miles to burn off the piece of cake you had last night. It's just, there's so many deeply ingrained, unhealthy behavioral relationships with weight gain and weight loss that I find when I have a conversation with you, we get into the weeds, we get into the science of it. We get excited and like, oh man, somebody else that knows what the heck, you know, hormonal regulation, metabolic syndrome, and mitochondria are, this is great. I'm excited. But when you bring that conversation to the person who really needs it, we're 10 miles ahead. They need to know that sleeping 4 hours a night is not acceptable before they even have any concept of what a hormone is, you know?
Yeah. It raises your cortisol level and then makes you hungry and angry. So any questions for me? I mean, any questions for me, Kevin?
I have a ton of questions. So you've impressed me with just kind of like your thoughts on it, your philosophy on it. I'm interested to know, like, what is your background with health, fitness, nutrition? What got you into it? How did you learn it? And what do you plan on doing with this knowledge? Is it just for yourself, or are you trying to help others with it as well?
You've been on this journey for more than a decade. And with me, it's been only like 18 months. And I've just been reading these science journals on NEJM, on British Medical Journal, and books. I mean, I started with Jason Fung books and then progressed to Mark Hyman and, you know, those other books. And I think you've been certified in Primal Blueprint, So
through Mark Sisson.
Mark Sisson. And so I went through all of these texts and generally for me, and I realized that, you know, it was like unplugging from the matrix, and you realize that most of the things that you've been told are a lie. And, you know, during those lockdown periods where you know, it was just getting bored, so I kept reading and reading and reading. And that's how the interest started. So where it began for me is, as you grow older, you see a lot of deaths of, generally people dying, meaning, you know, your parents or your friends' parents, you know, someone just, and the pattern which I noted is a recurring theme where they said that this person did not have any medical condition and we don't know what happened. You know, there was no pre-existing medical condition. And that is something I couldn't agree. I just couldn't agree. Like, you didn't know that he had nothing, and then he just goes into the ICU, and then he gets on the ventilator, and then he dies. That cannot happen. So then I started researching at why do people die? Essentially, why do people just with no pre-existing condition, they just go into the ICU and die? And that's when I realized that pre-existing conditions, there are comorbidities, there are issues that they have which is just not been diagnosed properly. They're extremely insulin resistant. There's inflammation. There's a lot of complex issues in their body. There's loss of muscle mass. Their nutrition isn't right. So that's what got me interested into learning more on why people die unexpectedly. So that's what sparked my interest. And it's been like 18, 20 months now where I've been just researching and just following someone like you on social media, where I've got to learn more and more about, you know, the science behind, you know, and science behind good health and, you know, being fit and lean. And yeah, I'm much older than you. How old are you, Kevin?
I'm 29.
You're 29. Okay. I'm 46. Yeah, I'm 46.
You're doing something right, man. You look damn good.
So.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like the whole system, from the time that we're born and we're told by cartoon tigers on the TV that the most important meal of the day is breakfast, and it's got to be this sugary cereal. Yeah. And if you don't have a big carb-loaded sugary breakfast, you're not going to be able to pay attention and learn in school. And then we go to school and we're taught to memorize and follow directions and stay in line and not think for ourselves. And then we go to the cafeteria and it's rubbery slices of pizza, cookies, and Powerade. And then we finally graduate, we go get a job, and there's a vending machine full of soda. And all along, every time we go to the doctor, all they're looking for is, on this chart, you don't meet any numbers that we need to give you a medication for. Yeah. So you must be just fine.
Yeah.
And then, oh, cholesterol, it's over 200. Now I can help you. Here's a statin.
Yeah.
And it just seems that the system is so reactive and not proactive. And I love getting in the weeds and talking about all the things wrong with it. But quite frankly, I'm a bit defeated when it comes to how do we, maybe we give up on the current generation and we say, let's focus on the kids. Let's teach the kids that all the stuff that we've been indoctrinated into just isn't the truth. This is how it's got to be. This is how you maintain your body. This is how you can be self-reliant your whole life and not fall into the medical system. And then we just wait it out. And in 30 years, all of this old beliefs just get washed out. But until the messages that we send to the kids change, it is always going to come down to status quo until there's a health concern. And then by then, you're fighting an uphill battle to defeat it. And it's frustrating to, like you said, unplug from the matrix and see it from a bigger view. And like, how do I save people from this? So my big mission is to really simplify it, meet people where they are, knowing that it's not going to be perfect on day one, but this is the simplest foundation that you need to know. And as they come towards me, continue to refine and refine and refine until everybody can have a conversation about, you know, hormonal regulation, metabolic disease, and really understand how to maintain their own body. But that's my mission. Simplify, get everybody to break out of the reliance on the medical system.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you're contributing to this, and like you're helping people, and your posts and your message now, it's definitely helping. I mean, it does resonate with, I mean, there's a lot of noise, but it does, there is signal, and some people are ready to receive that signal. So it does resonate with people. There may be a silent majority. They don't really comment or they don't really speak about it, but they're listening. They're listening. They're analyzing. So their minds are changing. And just like me, when I realized what the truth was, the health, about health and health, nutrition. So, like my mother, she's 71, so she's never been lean and energetic. I mean, I don't remember her being lean ever. Like when I was growing up, she was always fat. Okay, so she becomes a super lean and energetic now after in just like 1 year, less than a year actually. Mm-hmm. So and like my brothers and some of my friends, some people that I know on social media. So a lot of people have, I mean, it's not a huge number, but there are people who do get impacted. They ask you genuinely, they come to you and they ask you what happened. We knew you know, you look very different 2 years ago. So what happened? And that, and they're genuinely interested in changing themselves. So they may be a silent majority. So continue doing your work. I think you're doing excellent work. And I love your post, and especially about the mindset and decision fatigue and routine. Your post about routine, that resonated with me a lot, because I actually thought, you know, to be a sovereign individual, you know, I like this one of my values is to be a sovereign individual, not be dependent. You know, you should be able to do things myself, even if no one's around. So, so I thought routine is something which you know, which binds you. So when I read your post, I realized that it actually frees you more than it binds you. And so there was a huge paradigm shift for me. And I may not have commented on that post, but it did change me. You know, I look at routine very differently from what I thought earlier. I remember my wife saying things like, "You don't have a routine." And I thought it was a good thing. I thought it was a compliment. So now I know it's something which frees you, makes you more sovereign, makes you more independent rather than binding you. Yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah. You may not have imagined that this post is going to resonate with someone in Dubai, but it does. A lot of people are reading it, but they don't speak about it or they don't comment. Yeah. But it does impact people.
That means so much, man. I appreciate it. Like more than I could even express. And I couldn't agree more. The idea of routine is just so not sexy. It's not spontaneous. It's boring, but to have the freedom you want, the time freedom, the financial freedom, the health freedom, you got to be able to pack in the behaviors and habits that provide that freedom into this tight little packaged up routine that just becomes robotic. And Jocko Willink says it himself. He's the one that I got the real, like the elevator pitch of routine equals freedom from.
Oh, yeah.
In one of his books, but he's on point. Yeah. And
I see his tweet
comment
at 4:30 in the morning, you know, the sweat.
Yeah. So motivating.
Yeah.
But also like to comment on the decision fatigue thing, it plays the same role in your nutrition because they did a study on centenarians.
Yeah.
Communities of people who had higher than average living to 100 rate, you know, so longevity of life. And one of the things that they found out was a correlate between these people is that the variance in their diet was actually small. It wasn't a very varied diet. It was a very small select of items they would choose from, which if you think about it,
you don't have to think much.
It's routine.
Yeah.
It's routine. You don't have to think much. It's not sexy, but it's consistent and it's just easy to choose the right stuff. When if we have 100 options,
yeah,
I'm going to choose ice cream every time. Yeah. You know, if ice cream is an option, I'm choosing it. I'm going to choose the sexy one every time. But yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I would love to do this more often and really pick topics to pick apart. But before we wrap things up, I shared my mission, which is to simplify this, to slowly help those who are ready to hear it kind of break free. I'm interested, like, what's your mission? Why are we doing this podcast? What do you want a mission to accomplish? What are we making happen?
I just want to make like a 0.25% change and, you know, change within myself and then change with my family, then my like immediate circle. And yeah, that's how, you know, then the network effect, you know, takes over. So, but someone's got to start. And it doesn't have to be tied into, you know, something which it has to be beneficial for me. But generally when I've seen people even my age, yesterday I got a message, someone younger than me who I knew, he just died of a heart attack. And, you know, so when you see messages like this, and then, so I want to understand more, like why exactly, what happened, you know, what was he eating? You know, I want to get into that science behind why people just, you know, what are they doing to themselves? So, so my mission really is basically to improve my life and the lives of people around me. And then maybe the network effect, it takes place and more people get impacted. So, very small. Start very small, and then it could pivot into something which I do not know. But at this time, I do not know exactly where it takes, but I want to explore this. And I've been wondering if I should be doing a professional course. Also, I checked on the prospectus for PhD in health science. And it's something which, you know, it just resonates with me, just the about health and hormone health and the excuses with people, you know, how to dispel these myths. So I don't have a definite idea, but it's just something when you want to do something, you don't know why, but you just want to do it, you know? So so that's where I want to begin. Yeah, just help myself, help the people around me, and then could pivot to some like a larger number. Yeah.
That's incredible, man. I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm excited to watch you grow. And I think your expectations are perfectly in line to enjoy the journey.
Yeah,
enjoy kind of know 0.25% change, see where it takes me, and just start. That's huge, man. I'm excited. Yeah. And I'm excited to do this again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I look forward to seeing your posts. Yeah, keep writing and keep inspiring. Thank you.
No doubt, man. Will do.
Have a good day.
You too. Be good, brother.
Thanks. Bye.